Today, I'm talking with Sheila Lowe, who is one of my favorite people in Bastrop. And I think our first experience together was working on the bond committee for the school bond, which was a great experience, but just working with you in some small groups and that way and getting to know you a little bit better. But Sheila is the executive director of the Bastrop County Long-Term Recovery Team, and you've been doing that for 10 years now, but very involved in the community. So I always see you out and about, and you're just a blessing for Bastrop. And I think my dad and your mom have been good friends for a long time.
Long time.
So I'm excited to have you on today and learn a little bit more about you and your time in Bastrop. What first drew you into community work and disaster recovery? So yeah, tell me about that.
So I've been doing, first of all, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I've been doing community work for a long time, probably since my teens, but actually doing community work and getting paid for it. Started when I worked for the Austin Housing Authority, and I was one of the directors of resident initiatives, and we had all kind of community programs for our residents to help them be self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I found my love for helping people advance themselves and just get back on track in a lot of ways. Disaster recovery came in 2011. My middle daughter was diagnosed with Asperger's, and I needed to take a step away. So I left working for the housing authority and was just taking a break, making sure that she had everything that she needed, you know, to be successful in school. And my son was playing football at Trinity Valley, and we were on our way back from a football game. And when we got on the other side of Taylor, we started getting all these messages, and I finally connected with my mom, and she's like, yeah, got a little problem here. There's a pretty big fire, substantial fire going on. And at the time, I was volunteering with the Ministerial Alliance. And so I immediately got back to Bastrop as soon as we could and got to the middle school and started volunteering that way. And so, you know, as things went on with recovery from the fire, I just rolled into different positions, and I started volunteering with the long-term recovery team on the board. And then there was a need for some skills that I actually had from my previous employment. And so I started working for the organization. And yeah, next month will be 10 years as the ED.
Congrats. That's amazing. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks. No, when you said the fire, I got chills when you were talking about the fires. Sean and I lived, it was our first home in Hunter's Crossing. And so I remember Addie was probably, she was one. So she was a baby, and opening the back door and just seeing like the smoke. Of course, we were on the other side of the river, so we weren't affected, thank goodness. But I mean, it was terrifying. And so, but I feel like it's one of those things that really brought our community together. I mean, is that what your experience was?
Absolutely. And just the amount of love, like we had a lot of outside of Bastrop, outside of the county, people poured into us and were donating and, you know, making sure that, you know, we got on a good foot for recovery. But the amount of love and support that we showed each other as neighbors during that time was amazing. And we still see it. I still see it. We haven't had anything like the complex fires. We've had many little fires or not as substantial fires, but I still see how we come together and support each other. And it's wonderful. I hate that we have to have this, but I'm very fortunate that I get to experience and work with people that support neighbors the way that they do for this.
Yeah, definitely. And you went to high school here. You've been here your whole life, right?
Yep. Been here. Yeah. Well, I can't say my whole life, but my parents were born and raised here. My husband was born and raised here. My dad worked for the FAA. And so he was a trainer. So it was kind of like being a military kid.
Oh, interesting.
We moved all over the country, and so ended back up in Austin for one of his last assignments. And my parents got a divorce, and me and my mom and brother moved to Bastrop. And I'm like, Bastrop? Well, it was just because we came on the weekends and on during the summers. And, you know, this was my vacation.
Yeah.
And I've spent a lot of time with my cousins, but moving here after living around different places in the, you know, in the United right. States and, you know, a lot of urban and larger cities mm-hmm. to me, that was quite different.
Yeah. I knew back then it's still nostalgic. Like you would walk down Main Street and there's like an old dime store and the Lux Drug. And so, but it felt really small, right? Compared to, I mean, I was in Corsicana, so I was kind of between Dallas and Waco. And so it was a bigger town and we had a junior college. Like Bastrop didn't have much and everything was pretty condensed to downtown, right? So, I mean, seeing all that growth now though, for you, I bet is kind of, well, you know, I asked for it. Here it is.
Here it is. Yeah. I wanted a little bit of what I was used to. Here it is. We were laughing the other day because we were trying to think about things that were in Bastrop that mm-hmm. aren't anymore. And we were talking about Texas Burger.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Oh, my gosh. It was the only place that actually put salt and pepper on their
I forgot about that place. It was so good. It burned down, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I forgot all about that place. And yeah, the old thing.
It's pretty cool to be able to sit with people that have been here as long as we have and just to be able to reminisce and like, it really has changed.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's kind of trying now thinking about how to keep people going downtown, right? And still right. visiting downtown Bastrop because there's so many businesses there now and not just hitting the outskirts. So yeah, it's it. You know, there's growing pains, but I think we'll be good.
I think we'll be fine.
Okay, so you're the oldest. You have 7 siblings. You're the oldest?
I'm the oldest.
Wow, 7. Okay.
Yeah, I'm the oldest, and it's really wild. There's a good mixture of, I hate to say this, like full siblings, half siblings, and then we don't ever say half and step, right. but there's a good mixture there. Yeah. And then my dad and my bonus mom adopted some. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Nieces and nephews, so it just added.
That's amazing.
It's a real Brady Bunch.
Yeah, I love that. Do you think that growing up in that way affected like your leadership style in any way, or did it, you know, shape you into who you are now?
I think so. I think what really shaped me was being raised by a single mother, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And being the oldest, because it was just me and my brother for a while before we started living with my other siblings, but being raised by a single mom mm-hmm. and just had knowing that, you know, there are things that you're going to have to do and mm-hmm. just kind of being thrust into being kind of a co-head of the house, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I took that same attitude on with my siblings, whether they liked it or not.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then I've just taken it into life and, you know, husband pushes back sometime, but.
Yeah. Oh, Perry.
Just the way I'm wired.
Yeah. No, I get it. I was the same. My mom, she was a single mom until I think she remarried when I was 9 or 10. And so, yeah, I remember that just feeling like it's kind of us, you know, together and it definitely changes you in some way, you know, or shapes who you are. So yeah, I get that. Yeah. What advice would you give to a young woman or women who are interested in leadership roles and maybe helping more in their community? What's some advice that you would give to them and how can they go about that? Because I know there are women out there who want to be more involved or want to help, but don't really know how or what they want to help with. What would be some advice you would give to them?
So the first piece of advice would be to find your passion, because mm-hmm. a lot of times we want to be involved and then we get connected with all kinds of different things. Like we, mm-hmm. you know, we're part of the PTA or we're part of the Boys and Girls Club board, or we're part of the YMCA. Like we get involved in all of these things, but that may not necessarily be what your passion is. So mm-hmm. by the time you get to what you really want to do, you're almost burned out.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are small ways that you can help, but if you're trying to make the biggest impact, that's going to be where your heart and your passion is. And just take mm-hmm. your time and find that. Because yeah. if not, you're going to be running around in circles. You're going to, you know, I've looked at so many, in even my resume, like my community resume, my community right. service resume. And there are so many different things that I have been attached to mm-hmm. that I'm like, did I contribute anything? Right. Or was I just a space or a space holder, you know? So that's what I would suggest, like find what it is. And I know that's like, it's hard when you're young, you know, or mm-hmm. younger, trying to say, well, this is what I really like, or this is what I really want to get into, but just sit back and look, you know, and mm-hmm. just watch people and just fill it out before you get in there. And because what do? As women, we get in and we say, okay, I have this skill set. And so we want to give it our all. So if you're giving it your all for something that you're not really, you know, sold on, then you're just expending yourself in energy that, you know, you could put somewhere else. So I would just say, take your time and make sure it's your passion.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I agree. Cause yeah, like you said, you can get burned out really quick and then you're like, I don't want to do anything. I don't want to help at all. So, no, that's perfect advice. I don't want you to feel uncomfortable, or you don't have to say anything. But just, you know, your experience with Perry being on city council, how has that been? Has it been a struggle? How does that feel to have someone who's, you know, you're married to, your best friend, that's always in the spotlight and kind of always on?
So I kind of got prepped for this.
Okay.
Speaking with a couple of other spouses, but you know, we do things differently. I have had first of all, I'm so proud of him. Like,
oh yeah,
I couldn't be more proud and happy and completely support his desire to take this on. And I feel like he's doing a banged up job.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm very happy for him. So, you know, I'm pretty social. And I spend time on social media, and mm-hmm. that is a monster. And so the biggest thing or challenge that I've had is to stay in my lane, mm-hmm. you know, and kind of know my role as the spouse, because what he and the council do is what they do. That's their job. It's not my job. And so sometimes I'll see stuff and I'll be like, that's not right. That's not true. That's not what they're trying to, you know, convey. But I just have to close the computer, shut off the phone, and just let it work itself out.
Yeah. It's hard, I'm sure, to not, because you have that sense, you want to defend them. You want to say, no, that's not right. You have misinformation. Like, no. Yeah. That has to be hard.
And I have, like, I've got some friends that have spouses that actually are not elected officials, but actually work in government. And, you know, they've kind of given me a little advice, like, you know what, you just have to be his support.
Yeah.
Because those things are going to come. So you just have to be there to support him and he'll figure it out. You know, and the one thing that he tells me is like, stay off of Nextdoor. Cause like Facebook.
Nextdoor's tough. I don't even get on it. One time, this is probably about a year ago, I had a friend text me and she was like, you're on Nextdoor. What do you mean I'm on Nextdoor? And she said, someone in your neighborhood said that you drive a purple Mustang and you were speeding out of your driveway. I'm like, I don't own a purple Mustang. So then I have to get on it. And what is going on? And sure enough, they had named my house, described it in detail. Their kid is driving. I'm like, my kids don't drive. We don't know anyone that owns that kind of car. And so I just quickly, I was like, you know, this is not us. Please remove this, you know, da-da. She apologized. I'm so sorry. But you know, people are quick to jump on there and just rant and blame. And what is it about that?
You know, I remember like this is going to age me, but you remember MySpace?
Oh, yes, I do.
Right? I wish social media now was like MySpace.
Yeah, we just picked out our song, put a song on there.
You know, I thought when I was creating a Facebook account and an Instagram account that it was because my family lives everywhere. So I thought, oh, this is a great way for us to share pictures and let them see what's going on. And then, you know, I can't blame anybody else that I kind of creeped into, you know, putting my opinion out there, you know, seeing things and putting my opinion out there. And then when it got really to the point where I was like, I might need to be done with this, is when people started talking back.
Yeah. We're like, wait a minute. My opinions are right.
My opinions, how dare you? But yeah. And then just having to watch myself, even before Perry got elected, just having to watch myself in the places that I respond to people.
Yeah.
Like if you're on my page or any of my platform, I'm going to say what I have to say in response to you. But on other people's pages or posts, things like that, you know, I kind of stay out of that. It's just, first of all, you know, everything doesn't deserve a response.
Exactly. Right?
You don't have to respond to everything. So that's something that, you know, had to learn.
Yeah.
The other thing is that, you know, even before Perry got on city council, I had to remember like my position, right? Mm. And just because I have these feelings about something, it doesn't always represent the people that I'm serving. So those opinions I had to kind of rein in or keep to myself, not rein in, not change how I feel about anything, but I have to remember, you know, I represent a larger group of people.
Yes.
That's personally. So that's my husband, my kids, my mom, my church, you know, my friends. And then also the people that I work with, like you just have to remember. And it's sometimes I get tickled because I see some people out there and they're in, you know, similar situations and they don't care. They just put it all out there. And I'm like, okay, I'll live vicariously through you.
Yeah. I'll watch how this plays out. Be on the sideline for that one. No, that's great. Yeah. No, I love that. Yeah. Yep. Okay. So let's do a fun question. If you had a free Saturday, no obligations, nothing to do, how would you spend it?
Probably spend it at a spa. I mean, I'm talking about head to toes.
All day.
All day. Grab a friend that knows that I don't need to have conversation, but a friend that I would want to share the experience with.
Yeah.
That's what I would do because that's just my turnoff time. Kind of like when I'm mowing the yard, like nobody bothers you.
You mow the yard. I'm very impressed.
Yeah.
I'm not telling my husband that.
Yeah.
He will not listen to this podcast.
I put my headphones on and I get out there.
I love it.
I got a farmer's tan right now because of it. So
that's amazing. I love it. That's good. Therapy.
Yeah, it is therapy.
Well, thank you so much for being on today. I just really admire you and look up to you. And I'm so appreciative of what you're doing in Bastrop and how you're helping. And you are a wonderful leader and role model for our community. So thank you for spending your time on here. And I think everyone's going to be really excited to hear more about you and listen to this episode.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay.
Yeah, of course.
That's it for this episode of Real Women of Bastrop. If today's story moved you, made you laugh, or reminded you of the power of community, share it with a friend and please leave us a quick review. It helps more people find these stories and the women behind them.